Is it on? Tonight we're going into Luke chapter 13. And Stephanie, I don't know why I said chapter 13, chapter 19. That was a big, what they call a blooper snafu. But it's actually the 19th chapter and the 11th verse. And Stephanie gave us a lead in, and now my mind is ready to go into the Word. Our subject that I'm going to give to this pericope, this cutaway, is the King and His Servants. The King and His Servants. So many titles could have been given to this passage, but I chose this one for a reason, because of my anger. I've chosen this one because of my vitriol. I've chosen this one because of my disgust. That's why I chose this title. My anger stems from the fact that people will talk about Jesus as if he's their good buddy. Anything but a king. He can stay the baby in the manger, and he can stay the Lamb of God. And when they do call him king, he's the king on their terms. I was reading in the scripture today, and it was going through my mind. My mind cannot allow things to go through it. And the Bible says, and when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, and became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, and changed the glory of their uncorruptible God, and made him like to corruptible man and the birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. No doubt Gary might be wondering right now, what meaneth all of this, Tim? I'm going to tell you, Gary. You see, since the Bible says God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth, since John 1 and 18 says, no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. The way that we see God is through the revelation of his word. We see him with the spiritual eye. We experience him with our lives. But we check our experiences by the word. What we see in our mind about God, we have to check it by the word. What we think about what God should be and how God operates, we need to check it by his word. And when that is not done, due to the fact that we don't see God in this physical entity, we make an idol. God is spirit. He is to be seen through the mind. He's to be seen in the spirit. But when an idolatrous God has been created, do you hear me? Do you hear me? You don't see him as the king. You don't see the people that are under him as slaves or servants. And this parable right here, in an uncompromising way, oh yes it does, allows Jesus to speak about himself the way he wants to be known. Are you with me thus far, sweetheart? Bless the Lord, oh my soul. If you will, Ann, read that 11th verse.
And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear.
I concur with Stephanie when she was teaching that they were expecting soon and very soon the kingdom was coming. It's going to be here, that we've been asking about it. We've been talking about it. It's on your mind. It's what you're thinking about. So what I'll do is I'll use this as an opportunity to teach. But let me tell you something about this kingdom. It's not going to be a kingdom where you're in charge. It's not going to be a kingdom where you get to vote who's going to be king. It's not a kingdom where you have autonomy or self-rule. It's a kingdom that's going to be ruled by a king. It's a kingdom where the individual that's going to be king will allow himself to be seen before he takes that role. But he's going to remember how he was treated. Just like David, when we read the scriptures, David had been anointed king by Samuel the prophet. He didn't look like a king. He didn't even look like he was God's anointed. But most assuredly he was. And here Jesus is using an illustration, as Stephanie brought up, that they had gone through. You can read it in Barclay. You can read it in some of the other commentaries where another king had done the same thing. And they were in the same area. One of those Herods had done it. But let's bring it to Jesus. I want to walk with him so I don't take 1,300 years to teach this. And Jesus says in that 12th verse, what?
A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return.
A certain nobleman, a certain prince, a certain person of value, a certain person that, as this version called it, nobleman, went into a far country to receive a kingdom. In other words, this person is going, he's going, he has an agenda of receiving something of greatness and something of magnitude, but I'm not going to receive it. He's not going to receive it right here. He had to go somewhere to receive for himself somewhere or something that he could rule over, and he had to go there to get it. It wasn't like it was going to be brought to him. Therefore, this individual is about taking care of business and setting things in order. I know what my agenda is, and I have an assignment that I must do. Therefore, as I do my assignment, we'll see what he's going to give them. Read, please.
And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come.
He had an assignment. I'm talking about the king that has servants. I'm talking about the king that's going to rule and the servants that will be ruled. He has an assignment to go and receive a kingdom, but he gives them assignments. Notice it's not suggestions. Read it again and let us hear how he talks to them, please.
And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds. And said unto them, occupy till I come.
King James says, occupy till I come. I believe it is. The English Standard says, engage in business till I come. And then when I look in this one, which is called the ISV, International Standard Version, it says, invest this money till I come back. In other words, be busy about business. Take that which I give you and work with it. I submit to you, theologically speaking, this is what I consider to be grace. You didn't have the coins on your own. You didn't have necessarily the pounds on your own. But the pounds are entrusted to you. Now, what are you going to do with that that's entrusted to you? You are given an assignment to do. The assignment of the king is I got to go, and whatever is necessary to get my kingdom, I'm going to get it. But I'm giving you an assignment because when I come back, something's going to happen. I don't have to give you the full details. I'm the king. Irrespective of what we think in this 21st century, he's the king. He doesn't have to give all the, he can give orders and directions, and he doesn't have to look like the king. He gave directions. You occupy. You stay in business with this till I come. Don't you sit on your bottom? Don't you determine to do something else? I will not tolerate rebellion. You have a doggone job to do, and you better do it till I come. In other words, not 2 years if I take 6. Not 5 years if I take 12. Occupy. Engage in business till I come. Read some more of the sweeted word of God, Ann.
But.
But.
his citizens hated him.
Wait a minute, wait a minute. This is the king. And I'm going to go ahead and uncover the mystery before we get to the end of it. The king in this passage is talking about Jesus the Christ. We could go through the end and then unravel it, but as we go, he is talking about himself. I got a far country to go to. At a country I got to go to, you can't even go right now. He told the disciples that one time, and the Pharisees, you can't go where I go. And the disciples said one time, would he kill himself? The Pharisees, thank you, precious. That's a good correction. You don't even have to say it loud. And when he said that, gave them a job, gave the disciples the Holy Spirit, gave them a commission in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, etc., gives a commission to us summarily. Here, occupy till I come. And the word of God said they hated him. They didn't prefer him. They did not want him. And they did what?
Sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to rule over us.
Do you hear what I hear? Do you see what I see? Taking it from a Christmas song. We're talking about the king here. That doesn't look like a king. But he's given assignments to those who at least impartial believe that he is king. And there are some that hear the assignment. There are some that are there that send delegation. We don't want him to reign over us. We don't want him. We don't like him. We don't like his ways. We don't like his standard. We don't want his assignment. We want him dead, in so many words. We don't want him. We refuse him. We will not obey. We will not bow the knee. Please read.
And it came to pass that when he was returned.
I just want us to see the time spans between that. That's amazing right there. How Jesus was able to shorten that. What they said, we don't want him. He said, oh, when he returned. In other words, Jesus was almost saying, let's get to the good part. Because I need you to know who I am. I'm talking about the king and his servants. I'm not even talking about the whole process. I'm not even talking about everything that's contained therein. I need you to know who I am, and I need you to know it now. You're expecting the kingdom. You want the kingdom? Let me tell you what the kingdom is like. In other words, you will know. Please read.
And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading.
When the king came back after having completed his assignment, whatever it was that had to be done, evidently the king or the prince or the nobleman was under some kind of authority because someone was giving the kingdom to him. Do you feel where I'm coming from? So he had an assignment that he was completing. He gave those an assignment, and many of them didn't want it. But when he came back, he came to his servants to inspect, to see what they had done with what he had given them. Read that 15th verse again. I like the way you read it.
And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him.
Feel that? Did you feel that word there? It didn't say he asked. I want us to understand that the view that we have of Jesus, or the view that is being talked about Jesus, is not the Jesus that I serve. I don't serve no punk style Jesus. I serve a Jesus that gives commands, that gives orders, that has received a kingdom, that speaks with authority. Why would I follow a Jesus as weak as I am? Why would I follow a Jesus that needs to be dependent like I do? I need someone that has the ability to handle business. And that's who he is. He commanded those servants whom he had given the money to what?
That he might know how much every man had gained by trade.
In other words, I am in charge, and I'm checking out what you've done, and I'm going to deal with you. Read some more of the sweeted word of God.
Then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds.
I need you to understand that he took the first one, and the first one he wanted to see what they had gained with what I gave them, what their talent was, what their money was. I want to know, did you use it for me? Did you obey me? Did you invest it and do something with it and take risk and make it happen? If you didn't, you lived in rebellion. So what if you feel you're too tired? So what if you feel you're too old? So what if you feel you're too young? So what if you felt the economy was bad? I told you what to do, and I didn't tell you something that was impossible. Yes, it was a job to do. Yes, it was hard to do, but I told you what to do. Did you believe in me? Did you fear me? Did you see me as king? Or did you just see me as somebody that you would obey if you chose to? So the first one came and said, Lord, your one has gained 10. I was busy with what I was supposed to do. You got a great reward from me. What you trusted me with, I did something with it, and you were able to benefit. Instead of it just being there when you came back, I worked it just like I was if you'd been standing there with me working it. So much to say. Please read.
And he said unto him, well, thy good servant.
Notice he called him what?
Thy good servant.
Call him good. The same Jesus in this parable that told another man there's none good but one save God, dealing with that man with his flattery, said, well done, you good servant. What made this a good servant? His obedience. What made him a good servant? He was faithful when the Lord wasn't there. What made him a good servant? He saw his position as being the one that was under authority, and it was not optional to be obedient. Obedience D. Obedience, Tim, and it is not when you want to do what God say. That's easy. Obedience is when it makes you do what you don't want to do, make you get up when you don't want to get up, when it makes you love when you don't want to love. Obedience is going against your grain and following the grain of the one that's giving the instruction. He called him a good servant, and what else?
Because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities.
This is the most magnificently wonderful thing. Diametrically antithetical to what people would think about when we get to the Word of God. The little bit that he gives us from this passage is so, if you look at the passage carefully, you will see that the little bit that this person was able to create with what God gave him and used, look at the weight of what he got in glory. 10 pounds, 10 coins, or either 3 months' wages, he made it into 30. And he's getting the authority over 10 cities. Look at the proportion of what you do, or what this person did, and what he received. That is awesome. That's more than somebody saying, well, I invested a dollar, made a thousand. 10 cities! You are co-ruling and reigning with me. You showed me that with the little that I gave you, you were willing to work it to the bone. You were faithful to me. I can trust you with anything, because you won't let me down. Because I came back as king. I rule everything now. I can trust you to work and be productive with those 10 cities. I'm just saying. Somebody say, well, it was a parable. It wasn't real about real cities. I submit to you before the living God, Jesus knew what he was doing when he gave a comparison of that magnitude. Would you agree? Read some more of the sweet word of God, then, precious.
And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities.
Notice, he said, likewise over him, be over 5 cities. I don't see him calling him good. Mm-mm. I don't see him calling him good servant. Many of us may fall into that category. Mm-hmm. You see, this man halfway did what the other one did. We have a term for that. It's not called half butt, or half glute, or half pone, or one pone. We have a term for that when you don't go all the way when you could. But you did well. You were busy. And you're going to get what? Five cities. And a portion of the weight, when you look at the way he's got judging, is that whatever it is that you have done, the magnitude of your reward when I come in my kingdom is going to be so much more overriding what you did. You won't even begin to understand how. 10 miners? 10 cities? 5 pounds? 5 cities? Why would we not serve one like that? He's telling us about himself. Read the more the sweeted word of God.
And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow.
No, he didn't. This man said, you know what? I took what you gave me. I acknowledge that you gave it to me. I acknowledge that you gave me an assignment. I acknowledge that you are in the position of a king. But the gifts and talents you gave me, or the coin you gave me, I didn't invest it. I kept it. Kept it to myself. Wrapped it up and hid it. Obviously, if I lived, I was excited about other things in life. Obviously, I felt that as a king, you wouldn't demand whatever it was from me. And I could serve you the way that I wanted to serve you. I could determine how far I needed to go. I could determine my own job title and what to do. And the man said, I was afraid of you. You were a hard man. But evidently, I didn't feel you were hard enough to deal with me. I was afraid of you. You withdraw that you didn't deposit. You harvest that you didn't plant. That's what kings did back then. They would take tribute. They would take land. If they wanted your son, they take your son. If they wanted your daughter, they take your daughter. If they wanted you dead, they put you to death. This man was going to get a kingdom, and he gave this man something to occupy. Well, you a hard man, and you get what you don't really deserve, and you just take stuff. And I just didn't want to just, but you were just too hard for me. So I decided that I'll just sit down and wait till you come back, and everything would be all right. But what does the Lord Jesus say that the king said to him?
Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee.
Out of your own lips will I judge you. Does it remind you of David? Does it remind you of David when the man came and talked about how he killed Saul and how he stabbed him with the sword? And David said, your own words have judged you. You read it, Ann, because it's so pretty.
Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury?
The king was so upset with this man. I would judge you by your own words. Many of us, when we stand before the Lord God Almighty and he asks us, what did we do with what we have? And we were tired. We were doing other stuff all the time. You wanted, you knew that this is the commandment I give. You could open it up more for you. You knew that I demand certain things for you. You knew it, and you still sat down and did nothing to increase that which I gave you. I reap that I don't sow. Why didn't you take and deposit, in other words, why didn't you put it in a place where somebody else could benefit with what you have that I have so that they could benefit me? You rebellious thing. The Bible says the king told, and this when he says give it to the bank or give it to those with usury, the money changers would have money and they would change the money, the temple money, and they could get interest on it. He says, why didn't you do that? The king told those standing there about what?
Take from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds.
This man has lost because he didn't do. This man was stripped of that which he had, and he was called something that the Bible said that would receive death. He was called wicked, not because he was fornicating, not because he was committing adultery, not because he was murdering, not because he was homosexual, not because he was stealing, but because he was rebellious to the king. I'm trying to tell you that the king and his servants, the king in this passage is a real king. And if you don't smell the coffee by now, you will keep looking at that idolatrous Jesus. They're going to come back if you think and take you in the clouds, and you're going to sing hallelujah. You don't even see him as he is. He don't even portray himself that way. Now, does he? Read some more of the sweetest word of God.
And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that unto everyone.
Unto who?
Everyone.
That's a beautiful pronoun. It's a plural pronoun. But it deals with us in individual case. To everyone that what?
Hath shall be given. And from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from
him. Why do we as people that call ourselves the children of God not look at this passage and see what the king wants and not allow him to increase us so that we can increase what we're doing for him so that in eternity we can look back with joy because the rewards of what we do so far outweigh what we're going to accomplish. That's why Paul was able to say, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, is not even worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. When Stephanie was talking, when she talked about James, but your faith is made known by what you do. Please get us to the end of this passage.
But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me.
This is not the Jesus the people like. And yet Jesus is talking about himself. At the same time, he's talking about the Jews that are there. Jesus said, mine enemies. Stephanie read that with friendship with the world, you adulteresses, you adulterers and adulteresses. Don't you know that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Do you understand that friendship of the world, friendship with family, friendship with this culture will keep you from doing the word of God? They will look down upon you hard. They will laugh at you. They will make fun of you. They will ostracize you and cause you to lose that which God wants to give. You can live a life as a damnable fool and know God's word because you know what the king said and you decide, I ain't doing it. I'm just going to sit down. I'm too old. I hear that one too much. I don't read well. You do everything else in life not reading well. You got a house, you got a car. Some of you even have a house, a car, and a boat. I've seen people like that before. You're too old to do stuff, but you get excited about sports. You can get excited about sports. You can get excited about boxing. You can get excited about basketball, wrestling, whatever it is. And you can hear your mouth all the way across the room. But I never hear you get excited about the Lord Jesus to make something for him. You can get excited about your children playing sports. You get excited about your children playing basketball, your children in academia. But do you get excited when they try to learn God's word? God is looking. What are you doing with what he gave you? One day your butt going to have rigor mortis, and your fingers going to be hard, your lips going to be tight, and they're going to put some on your lips and glue them together. Your eyes going to be glued, and you might have a coat on and nothing on up under there because the casket covered the wrist, and they're going to drop you in the ground inside a box or cremate you. And then the Bible talks about the underworld. The life of the dead, the Hebrew call it Sheol, the place of the dead. New Testament talks about paradise and Hades. I submit to you that the day that comes, when you get in that place, you're going to know where you are. Those that have not lived like God said, have been wicked, and they refuse to have the Lord Jesus to reign over them. They decide they wanted somebody else. And so what they did, they redefined Jesus. They redefined his purpose. They redefined his assignment. They redefined the assignment that he gave him. And when they redefined it, what they did not do what he said. And I submit to you, he's going to slaughter. But it ain't going to be the kind of slaughter you want. The kind of slaughter you wish that you would be annihilated and don't feel it. His slaughter is an ongoing slaughter. It talks about forever and ever and ever. I think one day I'm going to teach about hell again. I'm going to teach it harder than I did the last time. Folk ain't getting scared enough. The way Jesus painted the picture of hell was so that people would fear and not want to go. Because his brother said, some saved with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. And he tried to save them that way. I submit to you the king and his servants. They have assignments. At the end of both of their assignment, they receive something. The king receives a kingdom. But the servant, they receive a glorified Lord and master who will judge every man according to his work and according to his deed and what they did with what they have. You want to be wicked? You could have something from the king and still be wicked. You want to be wicked? Live your life in such a way that you show up. I sent a delegation. I don't want to serve him. Send a delegation by your life. It talks. It makes volumes. You'll choose the king and his servants. The one thing about this one passage that I didn't say, and I will be through, is in this passage with the king and the servants, and all of those that did not want him to rule, he was still their king. See, most of the time when people think about Jesus, they just think about him just being Lord over the ones that serve him. Those Jews that didn't want him, he's still their Lord. He's still their king, and he will determine their destiny and their fate. What about us? What about us? Do we do what we're supposed to, what he's given us? The grace is when he gives it. The grace is when he gives us an assignment. The grace is when he tells us what to do. The rebellion means I won't do it. I don't care what the reason was. He told Buddy, you didn't do it. That's consequence. Father, thank you for your blessed word. You are king, and I want to do everything in my power to portray you as you are. And portray us as you see us. Help, I pray, in the blessed name of Jesus, for us to really consider what we're doing, what we're forfeiting, or what we are reaching forward to in eternity. This world is not our home. And just thank you, God, for that. I ask you to help us to get our minds right in Jesus' name, and to help others to get their minds right. Amen and amen, and even so, amen.